Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back, joined by Dr. Judith Curry, who is generously giving us a full hour of her time to help all of us understand a bit better the various issues and controversies that are now swirling around climate change. This is occurring, of course, at a time when the Obama administration is making representations and promises of both considerable behavior modification on the part of the United States and commitment of vast sums that are really, I think, highly problematic, if not impossible to fulfill. Dr. Curry is a distinguished atmospheric scientist with a long record of accomplishment in this space. Notably, she has served as the chair of the School of Earth and Atmospheric Sciences at one of America's preeminent academic institutions, the Georgia Institute of Technology, where she is still today a professor. She is also the president of a company called Climate Forecast Applications. You can find out much more about her and her writings at Climate Etc. Dr. Curry, again, thank you for your time. I'm interested in sort of taking what you've told us about some of these uncertainties and the possibility that, in fact, more and more scientists like yourself are unpersuaded by the so-called consensus that we've been told insistently exists, that man is responsible for this incipient and catastrophic warming of the planet. If you would visit with us a little bit about why this is a matter of still considerable debate rather than settled scientific fact.
Okay, the major finding of the IPCC, the recent assessment report about a year ago, is that since 1950, more than half of the warming has been caused by humans. And they put a very high confidence level on this, extremely likely. Okay, the climate models showed that 100% of the warming, all of the warming, was caused by humans, but the IPCC was conservative and said more than half to account for various uncertainties and whatever might be going on with the sun or whatever. But it politically, it's been very important to say that it's predominantly humans, because if it's not predominantly humans, then there's little that we can do to control things. Okay, so it's been very important for them to say more than half. There's no question that there is some contribution from humans. Okay, whether it's more than half and is predominant, you know, that's a question. I think it might be right around half or even a little bit less. And President Obama even tweeted this. There was a paper about a year and a half ago where it said 97% of all papers published papers agree that humans are dominating the warming. And that was a very flawed study. So you've probably heard this 97% of scientists agree. Well, 97% of scientists, we agree that humans are adding carbon dioxide to the atmosphere. We agree that carbon dioxide will warm the atmosphere if all other things remain the same. But how much is a question, and whether it's dominant over natural processes like volcanoes, the ocean circulations, the sun, remains a subject of debate. There have been two recent surveys of atmospheric and climate scientists. One found that 52% of them agreed that most of the warming was caused by humans. And the other survey found 85% of the scientists thought most of it was caused by humans. So something between 52 and 85%, that is a majority of scientists, but it is by no means an overwhelming consensus. There's still a lot of disagreement and debate about whether humans are the dominant cause of the warming.
Let me ask you, if I may, Dr. Curry, to what extent, in your experience in this field, has this consensus, such as it is, appeared, well, I don't know, to put too fine a point on it, manufactured is, I guess, one way I would put it, by political forces rather than scientific data. That when you had, for example, Vice President Al Gore in office, very aggressively promoting this thesis, and of course, subsequent to leaving office, doing so as well. But to what extent have you found in the course of your own research or work in the field that there's a premium placed on concurring with this kind of groupthink, if I can use that term, and real disincentives, either contracts or research grants not made available, or perhaps a defaming within the scientific community also in play?
The IPCC, after the first assessment report in the early 1990s, they adopted a consensus-seeking approach, okay, where they were looking to achieve a consensus opinion, okay. And the consensus, you know, that they're seeking is that humans are dominating the warming that we've seen. And when you sit down and negotiate, you know, a consensus, you know, people do that for, you know, in the boardroom or whatever, decide what you're going to do. But in science, sort of negotiating a consensus isn't a good thing.
It's not the scientific method.
It's not the scientific method. I mean, if there's a lot of uncertainty, the thing to do is acknowledge the uncertainty and say, this is what we know, this is what we don't know, this is what we agree on, this is what we disagree on. I mean, this is a more honest scientific approach than trying to negotiate and manufacture a consensus. So I've been quite critical of the idea of a consensus about climate science and the need to manufacture. I guess the idea is that, you know, speaking consensus to power, you know, we don't quite have enough confidence to say truth to power, but speaking consensus to power, you know, if the scientists all agree, you know, and then this will build political will to, you know, address the problem in the way that scientists suggest it should be addressed. So,
political will, at least suppress the opponents of the kinds of draconian, in some cases, quite draconian steps that are being proposed.
The need to build political will is why it's so important to suppress the opposition.
Yeah, agreed. But I'm just saying it's a two-part process. It's promoting this notion that there's this overwhelming scientific consensus, and it's ensuring that people who actually dissent from that and who have data that supports their dissent are kept from having any influence on that political process.
Well, there's two threads to that. First, all of the national and international funding has gone to supporting, you know, the IPCC, you know, focused on human-caused climate change. So that's where all the, you know, funding has gone into to help understand human-caused climate change, to the substantial neglect of naturally caused climate change. And at the same time, you've also seen some activists from within the climate science community working to thwart and silence anybody who questions the consensus science or, you know, is promoting ideas related to natural climate variability.
Which brings us to an episode that I think you, perhaps among others, have coined as Climategate, an active and very vivid example of what you just described in terms of trying to keep the dissenters from being heard or suggest that there really isn't any dissent to speak of. We're going to visit about Climategate and the insights that it should give us, among other things, about how we treat this issue of man-induced climate change. Dr. Judith Curry is our guest for this full hour, a very special conversation about a very important controversy. We'll be back with more right after this.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.